Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your podcast host. Today, we are going to discuss a kind of important thing in the franchise search process, and one that is can be very confusing to figure out, and that is money. Yes, folks, money. No matter how much we say, and we mean it, the money follows the fit in finding the best franchise zone, doesn't mean you ignore the financial piece of this. So how to properly understand what that investment is, what those cost and fees are, what the revenue is, and how to kind of project a timeline. We're going to kind of talk about all those things today. But first, before I get to that, we actually missed the podcast last week. It's been a crazy few weeks for anybody that lives basically in the Southeast. So as you guys may or may not know, as we talk about this on the show, I have a bizarre bi-coastal lifestyle. I live half my life in Arizona and the other half in the Tampa, Florida market. And so the last 3 weeks, Hurricane Helene and then Hurricane Milton, for us in the Tampa area, both were bad in a very different way. But Helene hit parts of the country that don't usually have to worry about hurricanes. You live by the coast, you know what's going on. You know those things, and it is a slow burn for a hurricane, man. It is like 5 days of anticipation and watching the Weather Channel and hoping Jim Cantore doesn't show up in your backyard, because that ain't good. But there are places that aren't used to it, and one of which is kind of near to our team here at Fran Coach is Asheville, North Carolina. So our podcast producer, Lindsay McGarger, lives in Asheville. Absolutely devastated community there. And I don't know if you've ever, my wife and I got to go to Asheville a couple years ago. Beautiful, amazing city. The drive in there is beautiful. Literally two of the main highways to get to the city of Asheville are destroyed, right? So getting supplies and help and all those things has been terrible. And what I found is, though I've always been somebody fascinated by weather, I guess I'm gonna nerd out on that a little bit. And you know, always think like when the Weather Channel people are lined up for something, I'm like, man, I would love to just like have that job for a day or follow them around like little puppy dogs. Because I'm fascinated. The other side of it is like the damage and the survivors, and there's all this focus on the storms as they're coming or as they happen. And then poof, 2 days later, Jim Cantore ain't hanging out there anymore, man. He's on to the next thing. And the Weather Channel is, and all the news channels, not necessarily their fault, but there's still places absolutely decimated. And one of them is Asheville, North Carolina. And so I've got a site, and we'll put it up here as well. Actually, Lindsay recommended this for people that want to make any sort of donation or help. There's all the big things that you can do, but a website, it's literally belovedasheville.com, B-E-L-O-V-E-D, and then Asheville has two E's, A-S-H-E-V-I-L-L-E, belovedasheville.com. This is getting any sort of money or resources straight to the people still in Asheville that literally don't have water, running water. A lot of places still don't have power, right? So they are struggling with just the basics of food and water, shelter, right? All of these things. So belovedasheville.com. If anybody wants to make a difference, reach out to those folks that are, I think, almost like feeling maybe a little forgotten. So I do not want them to have that feeling. No different, and not to disregard all of our friends and family, and Danielle, my wife, and I have tons of people that were adversely affected by both Helene and Milton, or one or the other. Jess, being on our team at Fran Coach, that suffered huge damage to her place from Helene, really days before giving birth to her first child named Jupiter. And I'll have to see if Jess will let me put a picture on here or not, but just the cutest name baby ever. not cuter than mine. Let's just get out there in case, you know, anybody that might be related to me listens to this. But again, just I from kind of experiencing these the last couple of weeks and having real people close to me, close to my family, friends, not just Fran Coach people, but a lot of other folks that we know in the industry of franchising, and just absolutely decimated by this. So don't forget those folks. Watch it on TV. Be fascinated. Be sad. What are those things? But if you can, in some way, shape, or form, like help these folks out, because they definitely need it, and they kind of get forgotten about this about 2 days after these things go through. So that's my storm and help soapbox. Let's talk about money with this. And so as we're going through the vetting process of looking at franchises, once we connect people to brands, it is a 6 to 8 week journey. There's going to be a dozen or more steps that we take along the way. And yes, I will always, from the highest mountaintop, shout, the money follows the fit as a franchise owner. Cannot stress that enough. We just did an episode a couple of weeks ago, the three most important things you need to focus on to find the best franchise down. Money was not one of them, but obviously money matters. So let's understand the way to find this out and the pitfalls and things not to do. Okay. So first of all, as you're going through the process with the franchise, understand that the franchisor themselves, that rep person that you are talking to that's kind of guiding you through all of this, there are things legally they cannot say. Okay. So franchises in general, they're regulated by the Federal Trade Commission, and anything that is anywhere near being construed as what's called an earnings claim will get you in massive, massive trouble. And so people don't want to get fired. They also don't want to go to jail, like probably more importantly, right? And so so if they ever feel like they're being evasive or they're not answering a direct question, oh, how much money can I make? Well, one, that's a dumbass question to ask. And number two, and I'm going to tell you why in a second. And number two, they just legally can't do that. Okay. So understand that first. Then how do we figure out the money stuff? So the franchise disclosure document, the FDD, and again, we've talked about that numerous times on this show, this big 200 plus page legal document. It feels like it's so stinking important with this journey, but it's really pretty insignificant. Again, those three things that really you need to be focused on most, your role as an owner, the people that are involved in this, your staff, your customers, your community, and then the franchisor, that connection you have, where their support is, how does that align with you, kind of that cultural vision. Those are the three most important things, right? None of that is in the FDD. So kind of why it minimizes the importance of this a little bit. But there are some sections in there about money. So item 7 is going to have kind of an outline of the cost and the fees associated with the investment. Item 19 can have revenue reports from their owners, okay? So yay, let's go to item 7 and item 19, and I'm gonna know exactly how much money this is gonna cost me, and I'm gonna go exactly how much money I can make. Insert big buzzer sound, wrong, okay? It is the beginnings of understanding this. It is not the end all be all. There are gaps in this. Okay. So item 7, when we want to kind of go through this, what I want people to think about is doing their own math. I know it's math. We don't like math, but tough. And to kind of create a pro forma of sorts, which is really a fancy word for I'm writing down all my expenses and I'm writing down how I make money. Do you want to do that on a piece of paper with a crayon? Awesome. Do you want to get this fancy, amazing spreadsheet or Google Sheet? Awesome. Okay. Sometimes people will ask us or franchisors, hey, do you have like a template for me? It's a little bit of a gray area with this, whether they can supply that or not. If so, it's more of like the fill in the blanks or not telling you what numbers go in there. Okay. But it's really not that hard to do it yourself. And so what you want to look at is item 7 is going to give you, again, some of the cost and the fees. So you start literally just writing those down. Think about, like, in your personal life, what are your expenses to pay for this month? All right, I got my mortgage. I got this. 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 Write them all down. Okay. Now for the business, you're not going to know all of them yet, but use item seven as an example, right? As a starting point. But there are some gaps. And one really big one that people kind of forget about, weirdly, is marketing, kind of an important one. It's usually not going to have a monthly marketing fee in item seven. Somewhere in the FDD, at times, it will give you kind of what they say is a minimum marketing spend. And this number kind of freaks people out sometimes. That might be like, oh my gosh, they said I got to spend 50 grand a month or 50 grand for a year on marketing. I'm like, that's actually pretty low. That's barely 4 grand a month, right? It's probably going to be more than that. And kind of without marketing, you're not going to have customers. Okay. So you write all of these things down. What are my expenses? Okay. That's first. Then what's on the other side? Money. Okay. So let's understand item 19 first. This is where franchises can include revenue as reported by franchise owners. First, franchisors are not required to put anything in here. In some ways, I think it's better when they don't, because when they do, it can be misleading. Okay. So it is at the discretion of the franchisor what they put in here. Oftentimes, you're going to see top line revenue and you're going to see ranges and timelines. So this is first 12 months. This is, you know, the average or the median or the top quartile or the bottom quartile top line revenue. Okay. Is this helpful? A little bit. And we'll talk about why in a second. Sometimes they're going to put net profit or numbers, percentages or numbers in there. That's totally not helpful. Again, we did a whole podcast just on net fallacy, the net profit fallacy a while back. Again, we're going to talk about, so we've got to do our own math. The other thing you have to do is you have to kind of read the fine print on item 19. There are some groups, some sales organizations, without naming names, sometimes they take a quick path, we might say, that can be a little charcoal gray-ish on what they're putting in here. We're only going to report those that are deemed to follow the plan. Well, guess what? They're deeming the ones that make the most money to follow the plan. Is that true? Maybe, but let's be honest, probably not. So it ignores everyone else. That raw number of how many franchise owners, and again, owners don't have to report this information. Okay. So it's not a red flag that maybe only 60% of them do. Because then the other 40 may have just been like, I don't want to. You can't make me sort of thing. And that's fine. Where it's a red flag is if their franchise has 200 units and 11 reported. Okay. Or we're saying we're choosing which ones we do based on how we deem their performance and following the plan, but they're only pulling the top ones. Okay. So again, there's some people that take a quick path in this industry that you want to be very careful of. Doesn't mean you can't still own franchises that they're representing. It just means you got to be extra careful and extra diligent with this process. Okay. So those are things on the item 19. So expenses, we understand we got to start our expenses. Now we got to figure out how to make money, right? So kind of broadly, we're going to have recurring revenue models or we're going to have project-based models. Yes, some can cross over, but we'll get to that. If it is a recurring revenue model, it is a boutique fitness that has a monthly membership. It is a residential cleaning franchise that is essentially a monthly membership, right? What we want to figure out, and this is, we're going to do this largely by talking to owners. Sometimes the franchisor can give this information to us, but only if it's kind of reported from the brand. Or again, there's some legal ramifications or restrictions on franchisors. Okay. Owners, when we speak to them, there's none of that. You are talking to another business owner. They can tell you whatever they choose to tell you. Okay. So in that situation, what is that monthly average? Is it, you know, hey, our average membership is $200 a month. Excellent. That's what we need to know, not what that top line revenue was. That's not getting us the full picture. So we need to figure out that. So if it's project-based, maybe we're doing bathroom remodels, right? What's our average ticket price for this? Oh, it's $22,117. Perfect. Let's just call that 20 grand, right? Excellent. And so if we talk to, again, three or four owners and we ask smart questions of owners, what's your average project cost, right? And we get four answers. Guess what? You're gonna get things that are pretty close in this situation. Are we gonna have it to an exact penny? No, absolutely not. That's never gonna happen with this, right? Even for those owners, what their average is this year or this month might be different next month, right? But it's given us the historical. Are you tired of being stuck in traffic during a long commute to a job you don't really like? Do you find yourself thinking of all the things you would rather do than driving on the freeway at the speed normally reserved for a school zone? Do you wish you had complete control over your personal and professional life? If so, you're not alone. So do our clients at Fran Coach. Fran Coach works with talented yet frustrated professionals who long for more control over things like freedom and flexibility, the ability to work hard for themselves versus someone else, and most importantly, avoid the craziness of rush hour traffic. How can this be accomplished? By working for yourself as a franchise owner. Fran Coach works with people like this to help them identify the absolute best franchise for them to own, the one that can help them achieve all their goals. If you are sick of rush hour traffic and want to see if now is the time to work for yourself, contact Fran Coach today at francoach.net. Set up your free consultation so we can help you get off the road to nowhere and create your better tomorrow. So once we kind of understand that, now as we start talking to owners, again, asking the right questions, some franchisors and some franchise owners will talk about net. That sounds good. It sounds helpful, but it's not, because we don't see their full P&L. We don't see their full expenses. One owner in that brand, oh man, I'm running about 40% net profit. Wow, that sounds awesome. The next one is running it at 5%. That sounds awful. It's rarely as good. It's rarely as bad, because again, what are they running through their business as expenses? And I've shared this story, I think, before, but there was a home service business last year that was for sale and been in business for almost 15 years. They were doing about $4 million a year in revenue. Pretty impressive from a home service business. Their net was about 50 grand off of $4 million in revenue. What the heck, right? The net profit looked terrible, until you get in there and you realize, well, the owner was paying himself an exorbitant salary. He was paying his wife a pretty big salary and she wasn't even working. They had two vehicles, one for each of them. And then I think two or three that were being driven by their kids that weren't necessarily really in the business. Multiple cell phones and all of this stuff. The owner, total owner comp was almost $750,000. Okay. When you take that out, all of a sudden now you're sitting there with about $800,000 of essential profit to this business. That's pretty darn good, right? But the net looked terrible because he was running how they were and legally and appropriately running their business and compensating themselves. So when we talk to owners, let's verify the expenses. Am I missing anything, right? I've got marketing on here. I've got $20 a month. Nope, we're missing a whole bunch on there. That probably needs to be $5,000. Owners can kind of go, hey, we spend this. Great. Am I missing anything? Yeah, you kind of forgot rent for that, you know, fitness studio. Or you've got $2,000 that probably needs to be $10,000, right? So they're going to kind of coach you and tell you from their personal experience as an owner what that looks like. Okay. So that's going to give you, again, exact. No. Is it going to give you a really good understanding if I'm not missing line items and I'm not way off on the amount in the line items? Okay. So that's first. Then back to that revenue model. Is that if I know that is a recurring revenue model, and let's just say this business requires or is going to take $20,000 a month to run the business. Great. Okay. I've got a pretty good handle on that. Now, what's that revenue model look like? Okay. So if it is recurring and it's a $200 a month charge, an average ticket, how many of those do we need to pay the bills? Okay. Simple math, 200 times or divided by 20,000, it's 100 people. So we need 100 clients to break even. So rather than going to owners and go, hey, when did you break even? again, without seeing their P&L and their expenses. If I now am pretty confident it's going to take me 20 grand to run the business, and I'm pretty confident that average person on this recurring membership for, say, a cleaning business or a fitness center or something like that is $200 a month, I now know I need to get around 100 of those to pay the bills. Okay, with me, nodding up and down. Now, when I talk to owners, the smart question is, how long did it take you to get to 100 customers? Did that happen in month one? Fitness, like boutique fitness things, that a lot of times happen before you even open, right? Whatever it is it month one? Is it month 21? Doesn't matter, but we need to know that. So now we can budget. Oh, okay, I can get that done in 3 months. Great. So as we start planning operating capital for the first 3 to 6 months, we are properly capitalized with that. If I just ask, when did you break even? It's factoring in a lot of things that we don't have access to or accessibility to with this. If it's project-based and maybe it's that bathroom remodel and that average ticket is 20 grand, well, hell, we only need one of them, right? And not all that 20 grand is going to, like, there's going to be, that's going to factor into, we're going to know that half of that went to labor. So maybe we know we need two or three of those to break even. In what month did you have, you know, five projects going? Oh, I had that in month one. Oh, I had that in month 10, whatever. And again, that's going to help you get a better handle on the money piece. The goal is how long does it take us to get to break even? Doesn't matter if that's month one or day one, or it's month 21, it allows us to properly plan the financial side of this. Okay. Because again, we don't want to be undercapitalized. We don't want to get cheap on marketing. We don't want to get cheap on labor. The two biggest things that cause that slow start. Okay. So when we actually do our own math, what does it cost me to run the business? What are those line items? And an approximate, well-educated, validated understanding of what that amount is. Great. How do we make money? Is that a membership? Is that a project? Is it a combo? Great. Let's understand that. And then figure out, based on revenue and expenses, how many customers do I need to pay all the bills? And then now when we talk to owners, how long did it take you to get to X number of customers? Right. So now you're doing your own math. You're doing your own work. You're going to have a much better understanding of this. You're not going to get caught up in net, like super high, super low, seems great, seems terrible. You're not going to focus on when somebody decided to pay themselves, when somebody decided to, when they claim they got to break even. You're doing the math, you're doing the work yourself. It will be so, is it more time consuming to do it this way? Yes. Is it more accurate? Hell yes, it is. And it also prevents you from, well, it's going to prevent you from anybody that's maybe not presenting the whole story completely accurately or in a way that is purposely misleading. The other way to avoid that is work with brand coach. We're not going to we're going to avoid those brands at all costs or come into the process knowing, look, this is what they're going to say here. I'm going to help you work around it. Might still be a great brand for you, right? But it's an extra little step of security to make sure that you're not being purposely misled, or you're not just accidentally looking at the wrong things because you don't know any better. That's what we're here for. Okay. So yes, the money matters. Yes, the money follows the fit. No, the money is not the top three things to focus on. Okay. But it does matter. And again, the reason why franchise owners historically are so much more successful and in business so much longer than the startup is the capitalization, okay? Yes, the plan, but part of that plan is making sure that you are not coming in with, I hope, enough money to get through the first month, right? Or we don't get cheap. And again, the two places owners get cheap, they get cheap on labor. I know I need to hire that person, but I'll just do it myself. Okay, well, now you're the owner, you're doing two jobs, you're not going to do them well, right? Or we're getting cheap on marketing. Yeah, I know I need to spend money on marketing, but I'll do that once I get some customers, right? If there's ever a like a palm to the forehead moment, it's that comment right there. So understanding the proper way to get the financial picture is going to help make sure you are, and I'm going to say properly, but really probably overly capitalized, so we don't get cheap in that first 3, 6, even 12 months. You may think that you're going to come in and what's the record for revenue in the first 6 months? I'm going to kill it. And you're planning on that. The second you're not quite there, all of a sudden now things just got tight, right? Hope for it, shoot for it, but let's plan for that. Like, we're average along the way. Again, it's going to create a better experience for you. This is the whole point of being a franchise owner, is control over your life, being friggin' happy, not being in a job you don't particularly like, right? So don't put undue stress on you by not understanding how to properly look at the money or being poorly planned financially. That is the money side of things for this. When you are at a point where you want to learn more about potentially becoming a franchise owner for yourself, reach out to our team, FranCoach.net. You always work with somebody with FranCoach when you come from the Franchising 101 podcast. So send us a message. There's never any fee for our service. At least one thing that doesn't cost anything. And the other thing I always want to remind people here, don't forget our super fun TV show, the Franchising 360 show, every Friday night, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on Biz TV. Past episodes are on biztv.com. You can find it there as well. Reach out to us anytime. We are here to help you. Number one, is this the right path for you to own a franchise? Number two, what's the best fit for you? Yes, money factors in there, but we got to do it properly. And then lastly, maybe throw that other website at you, belovedashville.com. And again, if there's a way you can help anybody over the last 3-4 weeks with both Helene and Milton crashing into the west coast of Florida, or into up into our friends in Asheville, please find a way to help out. I just for having seen some of the damage firsthand, unfortunately, we didn't experience anything bad and with my wife and I, so we were super fortunate. But man, if there's a way you can make a difference, please do so. In the meantime, thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next week here on the Franchising 101 podcast. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to FranCoach's Franchising 101 podcast, where our ultimate goal is to help educate you on all things franchising so you can create your better tomorrow.